I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures podcast. Today, we are at the lounge at the end of the universe in the Artist Lounge. And we have comedian Matthew Broussard with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Looking you up, I see you're also an actor, right? You
have
an
actor,
writer.
But don't you have a new movie coming out?
Yes, that is out.
Here today?
Here today.
I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
We watched the trailer today. I didn't know.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish, Billy Crystal. Yeah.
I play Colin Jost.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. So it's in theaters now.
It's in theaters
May
now.
May 7th. Yeah.
May 7th. Is there any way to stream it, or do you have to go to theaters?
You'll see it somewhere, I think. But see it in theaters. Go see it in theaters.
I haven't been to a theater in so long.
The box office.
Yeah, right. What the heck?
I saw the dragon movie in theaters. That was nice.
The girl with the dragon tattoo?
No.
That was really old.
They already rebooted it.
How to Train Your Dragon?
Closer to that. Like something in The Last Dragon. One of those Pixar kind of Awkwafina plays
the
dragon.
Actually in a theater, though.
Saw it in a theater.
Wow.
Yeah. It's nice. It's not crowded right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't been in a theater for a very long time.
Since we've been to the movie theater.
Do you think it's coming back? You think theaters are coming back?
I don't know. If it's
Idaho
dead.
Says it is.
But culturally,
will it ever get to it? Because you think about it.
It's like...
I think it was an antiquated thing we're all living with. Like, imagine explaining to the next generation, be like, "Yeah, you had to go see it on time next to people you didn't know.
Yeah.
Food was overpriced, and if you missed something, you had to just sit through it. If you had to pee, you couldn't pause it. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
I love the big screen thing.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
It's a little too.
And the fact that you can't rewind it forces you to be present, which is probably better for your horrible attention spans.
But are you talking flying versus Zoom?
Zoom.
Well, you said it's like flying, so like
it's like,
now
yeah, it's like being on a plane. Yeah,
yeah. We can zoom every. I feel like that changed things too. We can zoom everything now. Like, do we have to leave our house?
I just don't want Zoom to. That's my fear. I did all the corporate Zoom shows during COVID, and they're still asking me to do them. So I was like, "Can you do a Zoom show in June?" I'm like, no. I'm not giving you the
right. Why would
I don't want to give you an
that?
At-home version?
Yeah.
No.
So
I'm
you would just
force
see,
you to come out. That's the point.
You'd see people on the screen, and
it could honestly go pretty well, and that was the frustrating part.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no, this is a financial, feasible alternative.
You still get the check, right?
It was decent money because a lot of corporate shows they just have a budget, and that's what I learned about it. It's like there's three layers with any budgeting office, and they're like, here's $3,000 you just need to spend. We don't care. Just show us a receipt. Not that I would get all that, but they just need to spend money for a little hour thing on a Friday.
Wow.
It's a morale issue, and they can't exactly measure morale, so just take a wad of money, put a rubber band around it, and throw it against the problem, and hope that solves it.
Yeah,
that's what those corporate shows, the magicians and jugglers make so much money on that kind of stuff, and it's a great way to just compromise your art for a cozy living.
So are you focusing on stand-up, or you're doing the whole shebang?
I love stand-up very much, yeah.
Oh. And acting?
I audition as much as they let me. Yeah.
But I don't have a background in it. That's not your focus.
It wasn't my first thing. I love it very much. It's not as instantly rewarding. I've taken acting classes, and it takes forever, right? Acting?
To produce or to make a movie. Aren't you just, there's so much downtime and a lot of money.
Yeah.
Isn't there a lot of waiting call times in your trailer?
Yeah, but you're sitting there and you're like, well, if I go over time, that's 75 an hour. So don't mind sitting around.
Yeah, really.
Overtime, you're like, oh no, we have to wait. Oh no, I have to reset the cameras. Oh, battery's out. Yeah.
Did you start in LA?
I started in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved to New York?
Moved to LA.
Oh, moved
and
to
then
LA.
Moved to New York, yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
And did you move to LA for comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the same thing for New
Too
York?
Too early. Yeah. New York, my girlfriend got a job there. I always wanted to go to New York. Yeah. I was just too lazy. LA is so cozy and comfortable. You never leave. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just go on hikes and drink smoothies. And then you're like, oh, no, 4 years passed.
So were you performing a lot in LA when you were there?
As much as I could, which isn't that much. It's more competitive.
It's more competitive than New York.
It's a good stage. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because there's less crowds. LA is. New York has a lot of venues. There's a lot of comics, but a lot of venues, a lot of people. Oh, okay. People go out. People go out in New York City to shows.
Versus LA.
LA, they all want to. They see you on stage. They're like, I want to be. I want to be that. I want. You know, everyone's an actor. Everyone's at least in Hollywood.
So where was your favorite spot in LA?
Comedy and Magic Club. I never did Comedy Store. I mean, I would do spots there, but I wasn't past there. Comedy and Magic Club's just it's maybe the best run club in the country. Yeah, they just they really treat comics well. Yeah.
You got passed and...
Yeah, I got in within a year or two of getting there. Someone recommended me. Yeah. It's a room where if you can do clean, they like it more. So I'm not the cleanest guy, but I can switch it.
Does clean mean no swearing, no gross anything?
There's such a sliding scale of clean. It's honestly the truth is if they like you, you get away with more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you use big words, they seem to cancel out four-letter words. Every SAT word you use, you get one F-bomb. It's a weird calculus.
Nice.
I can see the resemblance, too, to Colin Jost.
Yeah. I swear that's why I got it. It wasn't until after the movie wrapped that I saw a picture of him. I was like, oh, that's why they can't. Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. Thanks, Colin.
Yeah, right. We were checking you out on some roast battles
earlier
today, too. Fun. How do you like doing those?
It's fun. It's fun writing jokes. It's just a fun joke writing exercise, and it's very exciting to perform.
And when you go in, you know who you're going against, so you can like set stuff up.
There's a surprising amount of preparation that goes into.
Well, I would imagine.
It used to take me like 8 hours to write 4 jokes. Now I can do it in probably 4 hours. But I need a good 4 or 5 hours to really go over everything I want to do and research the person and
try and nail them.
Get the words perfect. Get it in the right order. Prepare rebuttals, and then hope things happen in the moment. But just playing your best, and then there's so much more looseness in stand up. If you mess up something, you can turn that into a joke as a roast battle. There's a video of me losing to Frank Castillo. I missed one word, and
we saw that.
It all fell apart.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You had armor to fell off. It. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then I was like, dang.
Yeah.
He's so close.
Yeah.
Too many
P's
awesome.
In one sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome how it's just boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're big fans of comedy.
Huge.
And we love watching the craft and kind of different comedians and the styles and everything like that. So, but I like the roast battles because there's kind of like almost like you're talking shit to your friends a little bit.
It's like this. What's it called? The slam dunk. What's the thing they do in the NBA?
The dunk contest.
Yeah, it's like that. Where it's like, oh, I don't have to build all the little things around stand up. There's so much you have to do in stand up in terms of like setting up your jokes and your act and your persona. Where it's just like it's like a game of horse. Like,
yeah,
one joke at a time. It's just pure joke writing. I like that.
Are you guys friends afterwards?
Usually,
it's cool.
Yeah, I can't say I've made enemies with anyone I've roast battled.
Usually,
because it does. If you actually hate the person, then the battle doesn't go that well.
Yeah.
If there's actually animosity between them, it's not as fun to watch.
Right.
Yeah, where it's what's fun is when someone's insulting the person and they're enjoying it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you've been compared to like serial killers, like rapists.
Yeah, date rape.
I know. I was
gay.
Like,
always gay. It's always weird when they do gay and like a date rapist in one battle. I'm like, just pick one, man. I can't be both. I can be a gay date rapist, but that's not what they're talking about,
No.
I can see you like as Dexter-ish.
Yeah. American Psycho. Yep.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, that's funny how they break people down, and you're like, oh yeah.
There's types.
As a just a viewer, you like, oh, I kind of see that. It's weird. Like, and I wouldn't have seen it like if I
racist.
Saw just your screenshot.
Oh,
you know
racist,
what?
Racist? Huh?
Oh yeah.
Really?
What's his name? Jaron Horton had a really good one about like looking like one of the Tiki Torch guys.
Oh, God.
The khaki pants protesters.
Oh jeez.
So you've been everywhere, Jimmy Fallon. Comedy Central. What is that like? How? I mean, we have no experience, so just share with like how scary, fun.
First one I did was Comedy Central. I was really young when I did that. It was really exciting, and I was very happy with it. It's you spend a lot of time preparing, and then when you get up there, you have to perform slightly differently for television. Like, you want it to be loose and fun, because if you're really having fun and living in that moment, you can always see that in a performer. It always looks good. But then you don't want to be wasting words. Like, the most recent performance I had, like televised was with Comedy Central, and it was like just felt really good, but I could feel the words falling in place on the subtitles below my face. So,
right.
That was so just being conscious of the final product,
yeah.
which is kind of hard to balance that while trying to be present and engaged with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you typically have a really strict set that you're hoping to stick to.
Are the lines like going through your head, like, you know?
Usually by the time you tape something, you know it so well that it comes out like humming along or mumbling along to a song. Like,
okay.
That's usually by the material you've done. You don't have to think too consciously
yeah.
about what's the next joke. It's strange because when you're doing it, you're being conscious of the cameras, the lighting. That's the stuff that's
okay.
actually kind of going through your head, which is bad as a performer. You should actually just be present and in the material you're doing, but you're like, oh, but if I stand farther back, the light
maybe
is better.
Yeah.
Keep your chin up. Hide your double chin. Yeah.
Right.
Now, when you're getting ready for the special, you're obviously performing those jokes a lot
mm-hmm.
to kind of hone them. Do your jokes ever get old to you?
Oh, very much. Right. I had that with Conan, where I was running the set for Conan in 2016, and like I was 3 days out, and I was running it everywhere I could, and I suddenly was just like, is this material all bad? Is this a horrible set?
Do I hate this?
Do I hate it? Is this the wrong set? You have that, like, there's always a moment just before you go up where you're like, did I pick the wrong 5 minutes?
God.
Did I pick the wrong material?
Oh,
should I completely reorder it?
No.
I completely switched my opening joke on my Fallon set. Oh, but 3 days out from Conan, I just stopped doing that material. I just said, I don't want to say these words
anymore.
Until I get on stage. I obviously know how they go. I've been doing them for years. And I just, when every other show I did, I did different material.
Oh,
so
wow.
that 3 days later, when I actually did those jokes on Conan, they felt fresher. Three days is actually a pretty long time to stay away from material you really love or you're really used to doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So what? Why'd you decide to come to Idaho to the comedy festival?
I love Stand Up New York, the club that put this on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to perform in every state, and this is my 43rd or 44th
Woo!
State. So I was,
oh,
I wanted to perform in Idaho, and I hadn't seen any other opportunities to do so.
Yeah.
So excited to get here. And then my girlfriend's also in the festival, so that was very easy.
Who's your girlfriend?
Laura Sogard.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
Sogard.
And she was booked on it as well, and that's just easier for me that it's like a date weekend.
Oh, that's too. Awesome.
Rather than coming back and owing her time for being out of town
of
all weekend, we get to do it together.
Yes,
and,
I'm here, babe.
Multitasking, yeah.
So have you been enjoying your time here?
I have. Really pretty city, really cool city.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten to hike, which bums me out, but just...
Yeah, there's a lot of hiking.
Very impressed. Very liberal city.
Yes.
This is like a liberal city.
I would say the
oasis.
City.
Go 3 miles in any direction, I'm sure it changes.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Country. Yeah.
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 But really pretty. The people are very nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I really loved it.
I'm glad to hear that.
I want to come visit when the weather's a little warmer.
Oh, last week.
Those hills in the distance. Just,
yes.
They called to
like
me.
We had like 80-degree weather last week.
There's trails all the way through those
mm-hmm.
hills. You can actually go up to the ski resort, Bogus Basin, and mountain bike down to town.
Yeah.
So culturally, do you feel more akin to like a Montana, Wyoming, Dakotas type vibe, or you have some camaraderie with like Oregon, Washington State?
Yes.
I would say both. Both, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have the...
Pacifica, I think is what they call that region.
Pacifica,
Pacifica is Oregon, Washington, California.
Yeah, so I think we're kind of a mix of all
I
of
think
that.
So.
You know, we have, you know, our mountain people, we have the liberals, we have the more conservatives.
We have farmers.
It's kind of a crazy mix, and then Boise is kind of almost like what Portland is to Oregon or Austin mm-hmm. is to Texas. It's kind of just this liberal
cool
blue dot in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool little
what
place.
They call it? A leaf of kale and a trough full of barbecue sauce.
Yes. Yes.
Austin.
Yeah. Because we'll get the farmers that are going 50 with their big truck on the freeway and then.
Yeah. You got lime scooters. That's new age.
Yeah.
I was very shocked to see that.
Jake one?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's so cheap and it's such a great way to see a city.
Yeah.
Because I like biking around New York. And lime is just, it's great. I'll probably die on one of them.
Yeah.
Because you're going 19 miles an hour down a hill, no helmet. You're like, and there's just
so
3 inches between me and the ground, right?
Yeah. Now, do you have those in New York City?
No scooters.
Oh,
they've regulated yet, but we have City Bike, so that covers that.
I saw that. Yeah.
Love City Bike. Love it. Started
that's where you
COVID.
Just go up and you can...
Just grab a bike off a corner and
that's
then
so
move
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It's like 170 for the year.
Wow.
And you can score points
really?
And earn free months. So I have... not been paying for it, so because I've been scoring it.
How do you score points?
They have high density docks and low density docks, and they tell you the points. So if it's if a bike station is full, there'll be pickup points, and if you pick up from a bike station and you move it to a place with drop-off points, which means an empty rack, you'll get the pickup points plus the drop-off points.
Oh.
But you have to, if you drop it off at a place with pickup points or pick it up at a place with drop-off points, you won't get any points. But I'll do it strategize my route around picking up a bike at a high station and dropping off at low, and you get like a free water bottle.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I used to play Pokemon Go, but now that's my
that's
video game.
Thing.
That's your video game now. It's free rides, bike rides.
My MMO. Yeah.
Okay.
Should we get to number six?
I was just looking at number six. Number six just says vulva, vulva, vulva.
I think you missed four of them.
Oh, there were seven. Vulva, vulva, vulva.
Yeah.
Let's talk about vulvas.
It's a word that needs to be destigmatized. It's a word that's not used, that has a negative connotation, and even though it's the proper use, and people say vagina when they mean vulva, and I think that's irksome.
So was that true? Your family taught you how to speak about
if you're talking about bodily functions, there was no curse. My mom didn't like the F word she didn't like
all
the F word.
Other words for
she didn't mind S that much, but F she found coarse and uncreative, and any talking about sex, if it was done with graphic language, that it stigmatized it. I mean, don't make it dirty. It doesn't have to be dirty. There's nothing bad about sex. If you can talk about it more clinically, there's nothing wrong with that. So my goal with that whole set was, I think I read somewhere that the guidelines for language also fell along that. You can't say swear words for genitals, but if you actually use the proper names, there's nothing they can do to censor that.
Nothing.
So it was a fun set to try to push that edge of it. What's the PG-13 clinical AP bio kind of language?
Yeah. What I think's funny is I don't think a lot of people actually know those words.
Nope.
You know what I mean? I mean,
no,
they know.
Yeah,
they know all the slang.
Yes.
So that's what was so funny about that. It's like vulva, vulva, vulva.
Yeah.
It's like,
in the heat of the moment, I was like, oh, I'm saying this on TV. I could probably break the record.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, I usually say the rhythm is vulva, vulva, vulva. I think I say it four times normally, but in that, I was like, go for the record.
Exactly.
Just go for it. I got snuck in another three in my mind because I was just having a lot of fun. And, like, seven's really funny, and they can't bleep it. So.
Nope.
I think the one rule is you can't talk about insertion. They said if you can't talk about, describe the actual
thing. Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
It's a thing.
You can't say, is this a clean podcast?
No.
No, it's not.
You can't say a penis going into a vagina.
You can't
they
say
would
that.
Bleep that, but you can say there was a penis and a vagina. And you can say,
and
they,
wow.
There he is.
Or euphemism or metaphor. That was a fun, the whole goal of that set was to skirt all of the guidelines around sexual language by using
the real stuff.
Using whatever I could.
Oh, that's cool.
That was fun.
How long have you been a comedian for?
Next month, 10 years.
10
Dang.
Years. And what made you get started?
Just a flyer at an open mic.
Oh, really?
A flyer at a bar for an open mic.
And you hadn't thought of it before that?
No, I'd never considered it.
Were you
a new place.
Actor prior?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I studied computational math, which is far from acting. The most emotion-free.
So comedy started it. Your acting career?
Yeah, I started acting after comedy.
Oh, okay.
A bit after. I'd never considered it. My family made it pretty cut and dry that
wasn't a thing.
The technical skill or the we valued math and science as a family. It was kind of drilled into me. Work hard in those classes. It was the stuff that came easily to me and was fun to me. And they would say explicitly of like the only thing you were ever going to make a career out of is your math skills. That's it. There's no other option. You're not going to be an athlete. You're not going to succeed off your looks. It's if you're from this family, that's how you're going to.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Are they fine with you?
No.
They're not supportive.
My dad passed away, but he was starting to get it, and then my mom still hates it. So.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm. She hates everything. She's a miserable person.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you saw this flyer and you were just like, "Hey, I can do that," or "I'm giving it a shot."
Yeah. There was a kind of a series of events that kind of gave me the idea. I was 23 and had a pretty lame job. Didn't pay well. Wasn't a ton of hours, but it just got me by.
Yeah.
And just when the idea snuck into my head that stand-up comedy was a thing that anyone can do at any age with no background.
And forever.
Forever.
That's cool.
Yeah. That I was just like, oh, it's not too late for this. It's right. Obviously, I've never picked up a guitar. I'm not going to become a musician. Right. It would take too long. I'm not going to be an actor because I didn't go to school for it. But comedy, you were like, oh, the only people, most people start after the age of 22 by just going to a bar every week. And when
like
I realized
I can do that,
I was like, oh, there's still an escape route from this path that I was forced onto. And that was very motivating, knowing that I could break away from what I had planned of my life.
And so that led into acting.
I was doing stand up, and I signed with an agent. And when you sign with an agent, they expect you to audition as well.
Oh, okay.
They don't really. It's pretty rare to be a comedian who isn't at least trying to act.
Right, right.
Even Doug Stanhope was on Louie, so.
Oh. Yeah. That says a lot.
Even Brian Regan was in Top 5, so. Every comedian, no matter how much they pretend they don't want to, acting's a sweet gig.
Yeah. The paychecks are good.
So competitive, yeah.
Yeah.
And it draws an audience. That's the thing of, like, comedy, I would never have made it as an actor, but comedy, when you're a stand-up, the casting directors might know your stand-up, and they might put you, it increases your chances to be in a project, even though there's much more talented people auditioning,
right.
And then that draws people to your stand-up, and it's
right.
just a wonderful feedback back.
Yes.
Loop.
So, how was it working with Billy Crystal? Was that amazing?
Amazing. So he took an interest in so we could talk about stand-up, which was exciting because he still loves talking about stand-up. I think he still has a big place in his heart for it. He also understood that I was a rookie actor. So if you watch the movie, there's all these other cast members because it's an SNL type thing. And the actors are like Alex Brightman and Sarah Stiles. And that's respectively Beetlejuice on Beetlejuice and Tootsie on Tootsie.
Oh.
Those two actors are Broadway legends.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there just being like, I've taken 7 acting classes.
Oh, geez.
So this is very intimidating. And he made me feel, I think he sensed that and made sure I didn't feel out of place, because if you feel like a bad actor, you're going to be a bad actor.
Yeah.
And he was very encouraging and an incredibly high functioning individual that he was acting and directing this at the same time. Very good actor. I really enjoyed watching him in the film when I got to see it. His dramatic range is as impressive as his comedic range and just a sweetheart and everything you'd hope he'd be.
And Tiffany Haddish?
I've worked with her before. We didn't overlap very much in the set, but she's just a powerhouse, comedic powerhouse.
So. Yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
She's blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is.
I remember her at some pretty crappy shows we did in LA.
Yeah. You're like, boom, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Midnight spots at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, we've been to the Laugh Factory, Comedy Store.
Yes.
Yeah. It was fun.
What's your favorite?
Of the two?
Of the L.A.
Oh, well, comedy.
Those, or New York.
Those are only two we've been to.
Yeah.
We haven't been to any New York.
We went to New York and did not hit up comedy, which is so stupid.
Yeah, we were kind of there. I know. Yeah.
We're like kicking ourselves.
We're going
to next time to come back. Go to a club show and then also go to an alt show just to see.
Okay, cool.
And I can send you some really good ones. They're great. It's younger comics. It's going to be newer stuff. Still great comedy, but just a different feel.
Of course,
yeah. And always cheaper.
And we love that.
Yeah.
We love all the difference. And I would love to go to Caroline's, Gotham, and anywhere else. I've just heard about those. The Cellar,
Cellar, Stand Up New York.
Yes.
New York Comedy Club, The Stand.
There's so many places.
Great. They're all great.
Yeah. We were just basically intimidated by almost everything in New York. Coming from here, it's like, oh my God, where do we even start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just massive and cool and transportation and holy crap, people, you know?
People seem mean, but if you actually stop a New Yorker to ask
They're
for
decent.
Directions, they'll give you the best directions.
Okay.
Okay.
It's just not that people are angry at you, it's just they don't have time to consider
Well, they're
you.
Doing something.
They're on their way, so they're late.
Exactly. We're docking, and they're like, I got to go to something.
Yeah,
that was my feel.
But also stay to the right on the sidewalk. If you're not a New Yorker visiting New York,
stay on the
don't
right.
just stop while you're walking on a sidewalk. It's a highway.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
You just stay to the right, and if you have to stop, scoot over all the way and check who's behind you. People,
they're pissy.
You don't realize how different of walking speeds humans have.
Oh, no, we got
it's
that.
Like a bicycle and a Ferrari on the same lane.
I know.
Yeah. Now when I walk fast around here, she refers to it as my New York walk.
I do.
Because we were the first day we went to New York, we were actually staying in Philadelphia, and we took the Bolt bus there, and we had a shit show of a time getting back because I booked a Greyhound bus ticket back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
they were all late that day. I mean, by hours and hours. And so we got on our phones and booked Amtrak back to Philadelphia.
We had to be, we were body combat instructors, so we had a thing going in
at the time,
Philadelphia. Better shape. But yeah, that was an amazing city. I'd love to go back as soon as it's open and safe. And how do you feel there? Is it, things are opening?
In New York?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's open.
Okay.
Still more cautious. I don't know what the indoor mask mandate is right now. It's still, it's also social enforcement in New York, where it's not necessarily rules, but
that's what
the looks.
Heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as bad as California, but yeah.
People say things or just look at you like you're doing.
They won't say much, but yeah. But I mean, I haven't been around as much since it's reopened, but it feels like masks are coming off outside at least.
Oh, okay.
And businesses are opening. I think full capacity starts very soon.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is very exciting.
Did you do any outdoor shows?
Lots of them. Lots of park shows and rooftop shows. And
what do you think?
It's really fun because the people who were there really wanted to.
We're
there.
Super grateful. Yeah. Like, thank God you're here.
They weren't nitpicking and being like, that was kind of insensitive. They were just like, just talk. Just talk. We're happy to hear whatever you want to try to do. Yeah. Respect the whole process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it a good time to try out new material?
Oh, yeah. 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 It kind of forced me to write because it's your good stuff isn't going to work that well anyway. So why do your best and fail when you can just do mediocre?
Yeah.
And maybe
and see
get
what
a new
got.
Idea going.
Yeah.
Exactly. Awesome. So how do you like Boise? I mean, what's your favorite part?
It's been between the Ramada and the Bikes and Beans coffee shop, but the Bikes and Beans coffee shop, very good coffee.
Really? I haven't tried it.
I'm very impressed. Yes. Oh, as good as any New York place I've been to.
Wow. Oh, dang.
Yeah. And then downtown's cute.
Oh. Yeah. Did you have you eaten at any of the restaurants down there?
No.
No. You're doing just the burrito truck out front.
did I buy a sandwich? No, I didn't even buy a sandwich. No. Yep. Just doing the...
No.
Yeah, the Shell gas station next to the Ramada has some really great bargain bin protein bars. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what you live on?
It's what I've been subsisting off of for 2 days, yeah.
By choice. All right.
Anything you recommend?
Downtown, I mean, I like... Paddles Up Poke. They have poke bowls.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's on 9th Street downtown. If you like poke, it's delicious.
I missed out on some good thrifting. My girl said she went to thrift stores and they would it was not as picked over.
Oh yeah,
you know, because you go to
it won't be.
The best. You can't go to a cool city for good thrifting because the people know.
Oh, they know.
Because it's the best thrift items. Were worn sincerely by the original owner and then ironically by the next one.
Right.
Like someone actually loves horses enough to buy this sweater with pictures of different breeds of horses labeled on the front, and now when you buy it, it's cheeky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the best thrift buy.
Yeah.
Like, well, someone actually loved this and meant this, and when I wear it, it's like an homage to that rural mom.
So your girl is with you and she's thrifting?
She went thrifting yesterday, She bought like a weird Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh,
she was Little Red Riding Hood holding a gun.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Nice. I guess my favorite used place, though, is Boise Gear Collective.
If you like outdoor gear.
If you like REI, mm-hmm. It's all that kind of used
cool
gear and clothing.
And that's great.
I just joined the co-op from REI because
awesome.
It was $20.
Oh, yeah.
It was $20 to join for life, and then... Save me $20 on my next purchase.
Yeah, exactly.
We love REI.
We are members.
Yep. I also like that they're politically minded.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely,
it's a good,
too.
Good.
Yeah, so if you want to find a bunch of used clothing, that stuff that's at REI, go to Boise Gear Collective.
It's wild how expensive camping is. It's so interesting.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Want to get away from materialism of the real world?
Buy all the good
Spend
shit.
$10,000 on a backpack and boots and a tent.
You can easily do that at REI.
Yeah.
Too.
It's like I need a corporate job just to afford the outdoors. What is this?
No. Well, to do it right.
To do it right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did Knowles. And do you know what Knowles is? I saw a sticker for Knowles today.
Knowles.
Moondance, Outward Bound.
I did a
month of camping when I was 15. My parents sent me on it. So it was a group of 12 teenagers.
Were you a bad child?
No.
Oh.
No, they just didn't want to send me to Israel that summer. So Jews, we would.
Oh, you're Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are you?
No.
I'm the only Jew in this state, I'm guessing. But
possibly.
Yeah, it was summer camp. I went to summer camp, and then the summer we were all 16. You could go to Israel instead of going to camp. And my parents were like, you're too young to appreciate that. Go to Wyoming for a month and I camp for a month. I still love it. It's still like it taught me how to pack. I still really value efficient packing.
Okay,
it's
nice.
One of the best feelings to pack the most
roll?
Minimal amount. I bring a lot of merch for shows, but if I've learned that, so I'll bring a carry-on or I'll bring a roller bag of just t-shirts I'm trying
to
sell. But in my backpack, I just throw four pairs of underwear, and I've been wearing the same shirt all weekend. If you haven't noticed, it's the I wear this shirt. I brought four of these, so I could change these.
Nice.
This doesn't get dirty because it's on the outside.
Yeah,
as long as you don't spill.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
I could go thrifting and buy something.
Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
That'd be
That'll
great.
Be later tonight.
But efficient packing is such it's such a good feeling to use everything you packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to bring more than I need.
Always, yeah. But yeah, I do love just packing in my, actually, it's over here, that backpack there when we go on trips.
You know? Yeah, that's his,
that yellow
is
and
it?
Black
oh,
one. It's right there, yeah.
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just get it all in there, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you do a lot of traveling for comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
but I'm
got...
gone like one or two weekends a month at least, and then, just move it around. I like it. I like it a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And are you performing multiple nights a week in New York?
I'm performing every night. I take Mondays off sometimes, but I average probably like 10 to 15 spots a week.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I just like to go. I'm a lazy writer, so I need to be on stage a lot if I want to turn over material.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Gotcha.
I need to be performing enough to get bored with my material, and that's the only way I write new stuff.
Now, did you write before you started doing stand-up
no.
at all? Okay. So you just learned how to write.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing with stand-up is like you can sitting and writing for hours isn't as valuable as just taking an idea, tossing it on stage, and just seeing where the weak points are.
Mm-hmm. So is that what people say when they're writing on stage or like?
You'll take an idea. That's expanding on an idea on stage. Okay. I'll say the premise and then see where it goes because the adrenaline of performing often can spur a creativity that you just don't have with
at
pen and paper.
A
lot of writing is just organizing the ideas I already have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look through and be like, what was I working on? What did I forget to continue? So just keeping your ideas and just remembering to write. Just you always have that. That's very fun. What a funny idea. I'm definitely going to remember that one. Mm-hmm. And you don't write it
right.
forever.
It's
yeah.
gone.
It's
gone.
Yeah.
So do you do little scraps of paper? Is that
I have a Word document with all of my or a Google Drive document with all of my work material and then one I just call bad ideas. To remind myself that it doesn't have to be good.
Right. Mm.
If there should be no filtration, just be like, let it be shitty. Yeah, just let it be shitty.
And maybe it becomes something eventually.
Yeah, just typing it out. Just type it out. Get all the hack stuff out. You know, just get the bad stuff out so the good stuff comes after. And write little ideas I have them. And friends are good to bounce ideas off of. But you got to be considerate because if you just throw raw ideas at them, that's just putting the labor on them.
Right.
You know, and be like, is this kind of funny? They're like, yeah, but sculpt it a little bit before you come to me.
Right.
Because if you show me the in-between product, I'll never appreciate the final one.
Are you friends with a lot of comics? Or?
Yeah, I would say most of my friends. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But then luckily through Laura, we have our yuppie
normal?
Friends. Yeah.
Normal
people. Yeah.
Regular
they're not normal people by any means, but they're not comedians.
Yeah.
They all swam for Stanford, which is just...
Oh, really?
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you feel like comedians are a different group?
Like a breed?
Yeah,
because they take conversations as a competition.
Okay.
And they're a remarkably serious group of people. The least fun to talk to.
Really?
They always want to talk about the... They always... It feels like conversations start out with the most inappropriate or charged subject matter.
Are they trying to bait you? Or?
No, it's just where we start. It's just we're considering the boundaries of conventional dialogue. People come from a corporate work environment and they want to hear you say raunchy things and offensive things and politically incorrect things.
Right.
So we're so rewarded for speaking like that it's where we start.
Oh, okay.
And I have, when I hang out with my non-comedy friends, they're much funnier because they're not trying to be edgy or contrarian. They're just silly and fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, I laugh a lot more with them than with my comedy friends. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, do you have comedy friends that actually aren't funny in real life? They're just great writers?
Oh.
Okay. I would count myself in that group.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's pretty common.
Really? Okay.
There's some very funny people who do stand-up, but I don't think it's a requirement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To just be, like, jokey all the time.
Yeah, or
yeah,
silly.
Like, yeah.
That's improvisers and even actors, but I don't think comedians aren't, at least in the current age of comedy, where writing drives a lot more. You look back at the 80s, you know, the Jim Carrey, Robin Williams type.
Yes.
That was
nonstop. And
nonstop, fun.
Yeah,
exhausting.
Yeah, it looked exhausting.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you
have? They were bad comedians.
What do you have coming up after the Idaho Comedy Fest?
What do I have coming up? If you happen to be going to Olympic Trials for swimming in Omaha, Laura and I will be doing shows around there.
Okay. Oh, nice.
I'll be in going to Colorado with my brother, going to Miami for fun as well this summer.
Are you going to Texas?
No, probably, but yeah, probably on a last minute notice. And yeah.
What do you think about how Texas is blowing up? Is that a thing?
So as a Houstonian,
does anybody care?
It's interesting. It's fascinating. I went to Austin and got to see it firsthand. And
is it crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It just was slowly shifting that way. Yeah. It's a tourist town on par with Vegas or New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's the life cycle of I guess gentrification is the word, but you see an area like that that's not as expensive, and then gay people move in, and the gay people. This is, by the way, I forgot who told me this, but this is a stunning observation. Gay people move in because they don't as often have children, so they don't have to worry about the school district. They can just move to an affordable place, and don't have to worry about that kind of thing. And then the gay people, it obviously was a poor neighborhood before, which likely has more diversity. And then the gay people move in, and the artists move in, and then the hipsters, then the yuppies take over, because the yuppies don't have taste, so they want to be around people with taste, so they feel like they have taste.
Right?
And then they raise the property value, and then all the artists have to find a new place. And I think Austin's at the very end of that cycle. It's just like San Francisco, exactly what happened in San Francisco, where it's like no one with any real artistic leanings is there, because they can't afford it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So what do you think about Rogan moving in and starting a comedy club? Would you go?
Cool. I've done the Vulcan, which Rogan performs at a lot now. I did a show with him. It's awesome. It's creating opportunities for comedians. It's it balanced out that city in a way I feel it needed. That city was very much run by alt comics who have their own skills and own flaws, and I like when there's a club alt contention to challenge each other and call out each other's weaknesses. Yes.
Yeah.
I do really, really root for Houston, though, in this process, because that's where I started. I think it's the third, fourth biggest city in the country. Incredibly diverse, one of the most diverse cities in the country, one of the most educated cities in the country. You have the world's largest medical district. You have NASA. You have the hub of petrochemical engineering for the nation. So I loved performing to such smart, knowledgeable crowds, but also people with real-world experience.
Right.
And I think a lot of the spillover from Austin is going to be into Houston, to San Antonio, and Dallas. And I think we'll see a lot of good comedians and other types of artists coming out of those cities as well.
You feel like it's going to be the new L.A. for comedians?
It'll never get to that level, because you don't have the film capability.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
But it will globalize comedy in a way that it's long needed, because it was always L.A. or New York. And I think in terms of what's competing with L.A., Atlanta is the next thing.
Oh, is it?
Because they re-upped their tax incentives and now have the best tax incentives for film. And have slowly built up the infrastructure, the studios.
So people can go there, make a movie.
You can live in, you can be, all the Avengers movies are made there. Turner is based there. Turner is TNT, HBO, TBS, Cartoon Network, AMC. So you have Walking Dead filming there. I know people who make a career as an actor and a voice actor and a comedian living in Atlanta.
Wow.
And it's a much easier place to live than LA. So I'm really rooting for them as well. I grew up there, but I'm happy to see. I just want to have options.
Of course.
Because LA and New York are really a rough place to raise a family. And I hope by the time I want to do that there's other places I can go.
And how do you feel as a comedian about the cancel culture? Does that scare you? Do you change things? Or
I don't think it's as big of a threat as a lot of people make it out to be. Okay. There are some real cases of people very unfairly having a lot of things taken away from them over very small infractions. But the people complaining about cancel culture are more annoying than actual cancel culture.
Correct.
And I think it's a small number of people who are actually that outraged. If you, I've turned off my Twitter and can't see my feed anymore.
Right.
And I'm in front of hundreds of people a week, and I rarely have anyone take issue with the things I say.
Right.
So we're giving too much power. It's Twitter is just you're giving squeaky wheels a megaphone.
Yeah. Right. And I acting don't think like everyone needs a voice.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No, and it's a place that rewards, if you can't write a song or tell a joke, the next best way to get attention is screaming ow in a crowded room.
I'm offended.
Yeah. Ouch. Oh no. And then everyone turns.
I
agree. There's some real little, and I do like seeing some just lazy comedy writing being checked.
Yeah.
That's good as well. And I also think that the more, there's also the more sensitive we feel people are, I think the more more tension is loaded into these subjects, and when you can actually land that kind of joke,
yeah,
people amazing. Laugh harder. So yeah. I feel like people are like, oh, they're making, you know, edgy comedy illegal. No, you're actually making it way more enjoyable.
Yeah, when it hits hard,
and you take that risk. I think Daniel Tosh said it the best. He talked about that rape joke he did, getting him in trouble. He says,
"Oh yeah,
I say shocking shit for a living. Every now and then it blows up in my face."
Yeah, really.
That's the risk reward you play. That's the gamble. Yeah. That's the dice you roll. So you got to take that L every one in 100 times, every one in 1,000 times you get in trouble.
Yeah. So you don't steer clear from material that might, or do you?
No, I don't want to. I want to be honest, and I have some progressive thoughts. I have some conservative thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'd like to honestly represent both, and I'd also like to filter out both extremes for my audience.
Yeah.
I don't want horrible like racism deniers on one end, and I don't want people who are looking at the chance to be upset at any possible infraction on the other.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think most of us are in the middle, and when you get off Twitter and you stay away from 24-hour news, it's
you might be happy.
Yeah.
Twitter over the past 4 years has been insane.
Well, you just did it to follow Donald, right?
What's that?
You just did it to follow
I just
Trump
wanted to see the crazy stuff that was being posted,
also,
really.
I think Biden's been great for comedy because, not having Trump's been great for comedy because people aren't as... You look at during the Obama administration, you could get away with saying much worse things. And during Trump, he was saying, comedians say horrible things as a joke because it's like, here's the thing I don't believe. And it's funny when I say it because you know I don't believe it. But you were just hearing such horrible things out of Trump who meant it. And you're like, now people,
it's not even,
people think I'm being earnest. You know,
it's messing me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And when are we going to see you?
Yeah. When are you on stage?
Yeah.
In a few minutes.
Oh,
few
nice.
Minutes.
Yeah. All right. Shit. We'll let you go.
Yeah. Or again at like 8 or 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, awesome. All right. One
Matthew
signing
Broussard.
Out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mosier. Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Matthew Broussard. Go see him in the movie here today in theaters right now.
Woo!
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So
that was so fun.